I believe. That's been our theme in the Bible class hour and again here in this worship hour. I hope you're saying that from the heart. I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. I was not there when he was raised from the tomb. But I know that happened. In the Bible class hour, we talked about how people of the world look at Christians and say, all you all have is blind faith. You believe in events that you didn't see yourself. You believe in a place that you've never seen. You believe in a God that you've never seen. And in that definition, that's true. We do have blind faith. But our faith is based upon the Word of God given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Our faith is based upon the testimony of those who were eyewitnesses, such as John and Peter and James and Paul. We read in the Bible class hour the words of John when he said, "That which was in the beginning, we've seen him, we've heard him, we've touched him, we ate with him. And we give you this witness so that you can be a partaker of that fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus." And I ended the hour in the Bible class hour by saying, just change one word in that. Change it to know. I know that Jesus came to this earth. I know that he died on the cross. I know he was raised from the dead. I know that he lives by the right hand of God the Father and will be there until he comes to judge all men. Therefore, I know, as we just sang, he's coming again, and he's coming for me. He's coming for all who are faithful in Christ because we have saving faith. If there is one thing, if there is anything that the Bible makes definitely clear, it is that faith is essential to salvation. You know those words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that as the golden text of the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 16. But what follows it? John records the words of Jesus next when he said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And then he said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God." John 3:18. And then, after the words of Jesus, John closed that chapter in verse 36 by saying, "He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What a clear line of delineation is there. You either believe or you don't. You either believe the evidence or you reject it. You either believe in Jesus Christ or you do not believe in him. And John said, and Jesus said, and the scriptures declare abundantly and unmistakably, that if you do not believe in him, eternal condemnation is over you. If you will be saved from your sin and saved eternally to live in heaven, you must believe. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul declared, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul makes it clear there that the gospel is for all people. All people are the ones for whom Jesus died. Are you listening? Yes, he died for all people, but not all people will be saved. Why will some for whom he died not be saved? Because some will not believe. In Romans 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." That word justified is a powerful word and a most interesting word to study. And when you study it and find the background of it and the Greek word from which it came, you find that it's a word that is used as in the context of a courtroom where someone is accused of committing a crime and the evidence is all gathered. And when the evidence is all gathered, the judge declares, "Not guilty. You're free to go." We stand before the Lord in faith in Christ, in obedience to his gospel, the commands of the gospel. And he looks at us and he says, "Justified." In other words, not guilty. And yet I know I've committed sins. I know what those sins are. You know what your sins are. And I know that I'm guilty of having committed sins. But I know that I stand before you now not guilty of those sins because of the grace of God and because of my faith in Christ. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I can't stand here and tell you I'm justified. I cannot stand here and tell you that I'm saved and I'm no longer guilty of my sins because of something I did. The best you and I can ever live will not be good enough that God would owe salvation to us. We have to rely upon his grace. And his grace is appropriated to us when we believe in Christ and obey the gospel. Paul declared in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's gospel. That's the scheme of redemption. That's that eternal purpose that he purposed in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians chapters 1 and 3. God had this plan before he created the world, because in his infinite wisdom, he knew we would need a Savior. And he knew how he would provide the Savior and offer salvation to us, that he would give him to die on Calvary as the sacrifice, as the atonement, as the satisfaction for our sins. And therefore we're justified by faith in Christ. And it's not our doing. I love the wording. It is the gift of God. Reminiscent of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All of us who are saved, all of us who are Christians, need to thank the Lord and praise Jesus every day for that unspeakable gift in Christ Jesus. And yet, there are those in this world who believe that we're saved by faith alone. They mistakenly have believed that because they've been misled by religious leaders who do not preach the truth faithfully. They say there's nothing you can do to contribute to your salvation one whit. They say that if you have to do something in order to be saved, then you're earning your salvation. No, that's not true. There is no merit to you. The merit is in God who gave the commandments. And when you obey those commandments, the merit goes to Him. What does the Bible say about this matter? Are we saved by faith alone? It's found one time and specifically in those words. And they were written by the brother of our Lord, James, in the epistle of James, in James chapter 2, when he said this, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone." Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me repeat that and I'll misquote it. Now I'm going to misquote it deliberately. "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith." That's wrong. That's not what that says. It doesn't say we're saved by works and not by faith. It says we're saved not by faith only, but when we do that which God teaches us. And he used Abraham as an example. When was he justified? Paul wrote about that in Romans 3, Romans 4. When was Abraham justified? When, as we studied in the Bible class hour, when he believed in God and obeyed God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, in reference to Jesus Christ, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." Again, that's Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. So who's going to be saved? The unbeliever? No. He's already in a condemned state because he hasn't believed in Christ. John 3, verse 18. Who's going to see eternal life? The unbeliever? No. It is the one who believes on him. He will have eternal life. Well, what about the one that doesn't believe on him? The wrath of God abideth upon him, John said. John 3:36. Let me call to our minds none other than the Lord Jesus himself. And you listen carefully to what he declared as recorded in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Just before his ascension, Jesus Christ gave that great commission to the apostles. And he said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Who's the gospel for? Everybody. Because Jesus died for everybody. So go preach that. Preach that good news. Tell everybody. Even the people you and I don't like. Even the people who don't like us. But Christ died for them. So go tell them that. preach the gospel to every creature. Then, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. So from those scriptures, Jesus makes it so simple, so clear. And if he were here right now in the flesh, if he were to appear before us miraculously at this moment, I might could say to him, if I had the strength to speak at all, I might say to him, Jesus, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about saving faith. Who's going to be saved, Jesus? There's a lot of controversy about that. Who's going to be saved? There is no biblical reason to believe that he would say anything different from what he said as recorded in Mark 16. He would say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believeth what? The gospel that's preached to him. And when you hear the gospel, you either believe it or you don't. You either accept it or reject it. The one who accepts it, believes it, and then acts upon that faith is the one who will be baptized, and then he will be saved. Because it is in the act of baptism that our sins are forgiven, as evidenced by the words of Peter in Acts 2, verse 38, when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's evidence in the words of Ananias when he went to Saul of Tarsus and told him what God had in mind for him, the plans that God had for him. But you see, Saul was still a sinner, having beaten and given his voice in persecuting Christians. And Ananias said, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. In grammatical terms, that's a participle. And it simply is a word that looks like a verb, but it serves as an adjective because it explains how or the manner in which you do what's commanded. Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins. And the manner in which you do that is calling on the name of the Lord. You do it by his authority, in his name. And so we totally reject the doctrine of salvation by faith alone. What we believe is, as the scriptures teach that we've just studied, that faith leads to obedience. That's what saving faith is. Every time you do a command that the Lord has given to you, that is an act of obedience, trusting in and relying upon the Lord who gave the command with the promise that you would be saved, that you would be righteous in his sight. Every time you act upon the commandment of the Lord and follow his commandment when he's given you a promise, it's not an act of merit, it's an act of trust. When you do what he tells you, because you believe in him, it demonstrates that you trust in him. Let me put it this way. Faith, saving faith, faith is the root of obedience. And obedience is the expression of faith. Just as the graphic on the screen indicates, true faith, saving faith, leads to obedience. And Christ, became the author of salvation to those who obey him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Can there be any doubt that faith is a prerequisite to salvation? None at all. But understand what kind of faith we're talking about. Not a dead faith. James wrote in James 2:26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith, if it hath not works, is dead also, being alone." And you may say you have faith. You may profess that openly. But unless you do that which he teaches and commands you to do, you really do not believe in him. Think of the absurdity if one were to say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to do what he tells me. Yes, I believe he's the Lord and Savior, but I'm not going to obey him." How ridiculous that would sound and how ridiculous it would be. Instead, the person who believes has that humble attitude, "Speak, Lord. I'm listening. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. I'll do it the best I can." And that's all he asks. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe with all your heart that he's the only begotten Son of God? If you believe that and have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, act upon that faith right now. And come and confess that you believe in Christ and submit to being immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ and have all your sins washed away and go home with a big smile on your face and a happiness in your heart, knowing that you are saved by Christ. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, we're trusting and obeying. We're going to sing about that. And if you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, there'll be elders here to receive you. Come while we stand and while we sing.